Good morning. You know, it's interesting that we're able to do this. If you think about it, maybe even 10, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to connect via video this way, but I'm glad that we have the opportunity to do that. Conrad, thank you for setting that up. I thought what I would do is start out with a little time of confession for us this morning. I'm wondering if you maybe could use one of these resources up here and confess who's still in their PJs this morning. How many of you are eating breakfast while listening to the sermon and singing? It's kind of interesting if you think about it. We're all kind of in our own spaces, and yet we're able to connect here this morning through this medium. And so we'll do our best. I'm used to practicing preaching in my office, right, staring at a bookcase, so this shouldn't be that much harder. So to get started this morning, I thought I'd just lead us in a prayer. And also, if at home you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open that up. And and you can follow along. We're going to work through the scripture one verse at a time this morning. So let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that we get to gather, even if it's in the digital space, Lord, that that we're able to stay connected, that we're able to study and sing and just connect in spirit, Lord. We thank you that we have this medium, Lord. We ask that you would help us to lean into community at this time, that we would call one another, that we would email one another, that we'd write letters the old-fashioned way, and that we would do our best just to stay connected as a community. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we pray for your presence and healing. We pray for your comfort in our fears. We pray that we would experience your presence in a unique way during this very difficult season. Lord, we pray for those who are most vulnerable, who don't have access to the things that they need, that we would do our best to support those folks, find out who they are, and Lord, if there's anyone in our community that has needs, help them to speak up and say so. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in your name. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus 17, 1 through 7. I'm going to be reading it for you, so if you don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. We're going to go ahead and start in verse 1 this morning. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the places that God calls us to go are parched places? Parched places. These are places that are barren. Places that are in need of hope. Places that need new life. Or just how sometimes when we're just following God, we end up inadvertently being led into parched places. You know, I think that this happens because God is about being in the places and the situations that are in greatest need of hope and new life. As followers of Jesus, we quickly learn that when we're following God's lead, he inevitably will bring us into the desert places and show us something. God speaks to us more clearly in the desert places when we don't have as many distractions. But God also wants to include us in the new life that is taking place in these desert places. You know, sometimes God doesn't call or even lead us into desert places, into parched places, yet we still find ourselves in them. Whether that's because of choices we've made or choices that someone else has made for us, or just for some other reason, we find ourselves in parched places. You know, I've in my own faith journey, I've wondered why this happens. Why does it have to happen? And then it hit me one day. We have the opportunity to meet God in the parched places. And God, I believe, happens to do his best work in the parched places. Verse 2. So the Israelites quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Now I want you to notice in this section that they are looking to Moses for the solution. How often do we as people look to our leaders for all of the answers rather than looking to God? You know, it's almost as if the Israelites don't realize that Moses is in the same desert and he's longing for the same water. You know, it does seem like that if Moses knew where the water was, then they would have been drinking it already, right? Moses didn't know. Sometimes we look to people in our lives to produce a miracle. But in reality, they're really just in the same position that we're in. I think it's important that we don't forget this. Our humanity and all of the things that come with it, our shared experiences of good and bad, is the thing that makes all of us the same. And by the way, the product of understanding and accepting this reality is actually compassion. Compassion comes from recognizing everyone's humanity. Let's look at the rest of verse 2. Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" Moses' questions are actually, why are you looking to me? Why don't you trust God? This last part of that question, why don't you trust God, is actually a really hard question for us to ask ourselves. Have you ever asked yourself that question in the midst of chaos? Why am I not trusting God? I wonder if any of us right now are willing to confess that we're struggling to trust God, whether it's the situation we're in, whether it's some other area of our lives. And if I'm being honest with myself, I can think of a few things in my life right now that I'm struggling to trust God with. You know, it's hard to just trust God with the small things in life. But it's also much more difficult to trust God in the midst of chaotic circumstances. When we find ourselves or others in positions of suffering and uncertainty, yet it is at these times that it is most important for us to choose trust anyway. Trust is a choice. Verse 3. But the people were thirsty for the water there. And they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" It's just so easy for us to blame in the midst of experiencing suffering. Blaming is one of the oldest human outlets. You know, if you look at the story of Cain and Abel, you see some of the first blaming, or even that story with Adam and Eve, where they blame, one blames the other. Or what about the story of Job and his friends? His friends are are blaming Job for his own suffering. They're thinking, what did you do? When we're in parched places, we do long for an explanation. And so we blame. Then at least our suffering makes sense. Sure, suffering can be my fault, or it can be your fault, or even a leader's fault. But sometimes suffering doesn't have an explanation, except for maybe that our world is a broken place in need of restoration. I believe that simply because we are human, we will inevitably find ourselves in these parched places. It's not if we will, but when we will. Imagine if we lived with such trust in God that the moment we found ourselves in these parched places or these chaotic situations, rather than blame, we instead sought out God's care. I'd like to tell you a quick story related to this. I have a friend who moved to Johannesburg, South Africa, as a missionary. And she relocated there to work with folks in extreme poverty. And at the time that she did this, Joburg was actually one of the most dangerous cities in the entire world. And so it was anticipated at some point that you would be robbed, and possibly robbed at gunpoint. One day, my friend and her roommate, they were getting ready for bed. It was late into the evening. And two men broke into their apartment and tied them to the chair and held them at gunpoint. The men weren't wearing any masks, which was not a good sign. So my friend sat there. She was panicked. She was believing that she was going to die, that this was her last moment, and there was nothing that she could do about it. But her roommate was oddly calm. And the men began to search the room, and they were collecting things of value from their apartment. And that's when her roommate began to pray aloud. But she wasn't praying for herself or their own safety. She began to pray for these men. And she said something like, "Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for their lives, and thank you that they matter to you. Help them to have whatever it is that they need. Be with them. Keep them safe." The men were confused. My friend told me that they kept yelling at her roommate. They told her to stop praying, but she wouldn't. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the men, they threw down the stuff that they had, and they just left. They just left the apartment. Once they had gotten themselves free, my friend looked at a roommate and she said, why did you do that? How did you know to do that? How did you know that that was going to work? And her roommate said, "I didn't." She said, "I just pray when I don't know what else to do. And I figured that they needed prayer just as much as I did." You know, this is a true story that happened to my friend. I can't imagine experiencing something like that. But the reality is that when we trust God, God has the ability to do even more than we ever could imagine. Let's take a look at verse 4. "Then Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me.'" You know, I think Moses models a really beautiful leadership behavior. This is a behavior that I'm committed to working more on. I'm committed to practicing and maturing in. He essentially says, I don't know what to do. He admits that he doesn't have the answer and he needs the Lord's help. You know, this is one of the hardest things for a leader to do because everyone tends to look to their leaders to fix things, to look to their leaders to have the answers. After all, that's the leader's job, right? This is what they're paid to do. And sometimes leaders can fix things, but sometimes they can't. And so ultimately, the person worthy of our greatest confidence is the one who modeled love by giving everything for his children. So we trust in God. To wrap up, let's look at verses 5 through 7. The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Moses modeled faithfulness because he trusted God. Leaders will disappoint. Healthy leaders will admit that they're going to disappoint you. All people in life will disappoint. Healthy people know that they will disappoint. One of the only guarantees that we have is seen in the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." We trust God because while we will likely fail one another, Christ is with us. Even when we're in parched places, we find him there too. We trust God because we don't have all the answers and our view is limited. But God's view is outside of the limitations of space and time. We trust God because God knows all about the parched places, because God has been in all the parched places too. Our suffering is not unfamiliar to the one who clothed himself in humanity and entered the barrenness of death for us. We trust God because in reality, God can do some of his best work in parched places. So, may you trust God to meet you now in the most parched places of your life. Amen. Bobby, can you come lead us in our prayer?